John Hagee Ministries has been reaching out to millions of people worldwide every week, delivering all the gospel to all the world and to all generations.
It is coming, the day which I have spoken. Four great beasts will rise from the earth. I am the king of the north, and I will rule the earth.
I am king of east. No other country has power like me.
I am the king of the south, my people, and I will reign over all mankind.
When my name is revealed in the west, the entire world will follow me.
Would you stand for the reading of God's word? Turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, as we continue our prophetic series titled, The Four Kings, The Final Game of Thrones. Bible prophecy clearly reveals that immediately prior to the rapture of the church, four very powerful kings are going to race onto the stage of world history with two objectives. The first is to conquer the world. To reign as a global dictator, to sit on an imperial throne and command you as slaves and serfs to obey them. Their second objective is going to be to conquer Israel and to destroy the Jewish people. Why? Because it is the Jewish people who have given to the world the light of the Word of God. Satan is the prince of darkness. He hates the light. Jesus, a Jew, was born through the Jewish people. That explains the driving force of anti-Semitism. Right now, Israel is surrounded by nations screaming for their destruction. Anti-Semitism is raging in Europe and in America's universities. The stage has been set for the drama of the ages. These four kings right now are on center stage for the very first time in world history. Think about it. Recorded 3,000 plus years ago, and now mysteriously every word and phrase is coming true. You are watching this massive prophetic geopolitical drama right on the front pages of your newspaper and watching it in live living color on your smart flat screen television. We are getting it from the Word of God, seeing into the future, because our God is the God who knows the end from the beginning. He is God. The final Game of Thrones has begun. The Gog and Magog war of Ezekiel 38-39 has begun. One of the greatest Jewish scholars in the world, Rabbi Radek, writes, and I quote, "When the sun turns to darkness, that's the eclipse, and the moon turns to blood, the four blood moons, this will occur at the Gog Magog war. The Gog Magog war is the beginning of the Third World War. The conflict in the Middle East has started, and it's not going to end until it engulfs the whole world. We're racing toward the end of the world as we know it." Read with me Ezekiel, the 38th chapter, verses 4 and 5. Ready? "I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. These are the nations, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his troops, the house of Togarmah, from the far north and all its troops and many people who are with you. Those are the armies that are coming. Who is the king of the south? How does it affect you? How is it affecting America right now? We'll cover that in just a moment. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the peace that we have in knowing the future, because the God that we serve is already in the future. Your word is true. It is very clear to us. When we read these passages, we are not to be alarmed, but be comforted, because the King is coming. In the authority of Jesus' name, let this word go forth to America and to the nations of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Who is the king of the south? The Bible says it's Egypt and the Arabic Islamic nations. Remember that in the Bible, all directions are given with regard to the city of Jerusalem. In the mind of God, Jerusalem is the epicenter of the universe. When Ezekiel speaks of Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya, he is speaking of the Arabic Islamic nations. Last week, we established the Bible fact that the Gog-Magog war has started. Russia has come out of the far north into Syria and set up its military encampment. Ezekiel wrote about this in the 38th chapter, verses 15 and 16. And you, Russia, will come from out of your place in the far north, you and many nations with you. These are the names of the nations: Iran, Libya, Turkey, Germany, and other nations. You will advance against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. There are so many millions of you, you are going to be a massive military armada. When Russia brought its military forces into Syria, September the 11th, 2015, it was a dramatic prophetic fulfillment of Ezekiel 38:15. Russia is in the Middle East to stay. They are there to conquer and there to control and to finally attack Israel and the Jewish people. Russia, under President Putin, will take out ISIS and win the admiration of the world, including America. He will establish that America is weak, that we are powerless, that we are leaderless, and have walked off center stage of the world drama. World War III has begun. Today, Washington can't bring themselves to even say radical Islam, much less World War III. The headline from the Telegraph newspaper of February the 12th of this year reads, quote, "Russia warns of a new world war." Consider the Trojan horse in history. Listen to the story. A long time ago, there was an ancient city-state on the coast of Turkey. The city of Troy was protected by a high wall around the city. Some parts of the wall were as high as 20 feet. There were gates in the wall to let the people in and out, but it protected and provided a great defense for the people of Troy. To give the Trojan warriors a relative safe place to stand while they rained arrows down on anyone that might try to attack them. The Greeks had been trying to break into that city for over 10 years. They could not find a way. And the Trojans did not seem able to drive the Greeks away. It was something of a military standoff. But a Greek general had an idea. His plan was to build a horse, a beautiful and huge wooden horse, and leave it outside the gate. Then the entire Greek army would pretend to leave the scene of battle as if they had been finally defeated, but the horse would be hollow with 30 men on the inside hiding. And that's what they did. As the Greek warriors walked away from the battle, the people of Troy rushed outside cheering, and they found the Trojan horse. They dragged the horse inside the city gates to display it. Just what the Greek general thought they would do. They would gloat over an assumed victory that would in fact guarantee their destruction. That night, while the Trojan people were sleeping, the men hiding inside the wooden horse climbed out and opened the gates of the city of Troy. The waiting Greek army entered the city with a flood and destroyed that city in one night. Now, what's the purpose of that? That's the story behind Beware Greeks Bearing Gifts. That's what it means in history. Illegal immigration is America's Trojan horse. We are being invaded. I was speaking to a military man several days ago, and he said, if it were happening in one nation, it would be a happenstance. But when it's happening in Germany, in France, in England, and in America the same way, someone is behind this planning it on a global strategy. It is not happenstance. We are being invaded. The vast majority of those flooding across our borders are undocumented and do not wish us well. We need to wake up to that fact. When I was speaking in San Bernardino, California, in a church, months before the radical Islamic terrorist shooting, I told that audience, I said, and I quote, "The terrorists are not coming to San Bernardino. They are already here." And that's on tape for the record. Weeks later, tragedy struck, and it's going to continue to strike in America until we wake up out of this blind stupor and admit that America is at war with radical Islam. That's a reality. I say to the American people and to our leaders in Washington, the radical Islamic terrorists are not coming, they are here. The Trojan horse is already inside the gates of America. According to the FBI, terrorist groups are organized in every major city in sufficient numbers to pull off successful and major terrorist acts. They are religious fanatics seeking the slaughter of American people to gain admission into heaven with 70 virgins who are waiting. I do not fear ISIS. I fear our government's cowardly response to radical Islamic terrorists. It's nothing less than a red carpet inviting them to rob, to kill, and to destroy the American people. Mr. President, turn our military forces loose and wipe ISIS off the face of the earth. Let freedom ring. And then there is this point of view. Consider jihad, holy war, by immigration. The Bible has an enormous amount to say about immigration. An immigrant who comes to America with no intention of keeping our laws or assimilating into the American culture is not an immigrant. That's an invader. That's an invader. You don't want to keep our laws? Go back where you came from. You don't like America? Leave. We're happy without you. This story was given to me personally by a law enforcement person working the highway coming out of Mexico. They stopped a Suburban with four Middle Eastern men who did not speak English. They had no documentation to be in the United States of America. These are obviously not four stranded missionaries. the patrolman contacted his superior about what to do, and he was told to release them. And then I was told this happens all the time. The fact is that last week the Drudge Report stated that the Border Patrol has been ordered to, quote, stand down. So the American borders are completely open. Your grandmother could walk across the border and she wouldn't be stopped. The question, so why are Islamics so motivated to flood other nations by immigration? The answer is Hijra, which gives each immigrant the reward of heaven. If a Muslim dies in the process of immigration, that essentially gives him or her the same reward if they died as a bomber or a terrorist act. This explains why great eagerness to undertake such a perilous journey into another country is happening. To quote the Post, quote, "Go watch the videos of those refugees again. How many of the refugees are 17 to 25 years of age, and most of them are men," end quote. A United Kingdom leader, Nigel Farage, warned, quote, "I fear we face a direct threat to our civilization if we allow large numbers of people from that war-torn region to envelop and invade Europe," end quote. Other Muslim countries are not taking refugees in. Saudi Arabia is huge, very rich. They're not taking in anyone because this is an invasion, well organized, into Europe and America at the same time. This is not merely a humanitarian crisis. This is orchestrated. Its goal is to transform America, to overtax our economies, to tear down the wealthiest cities, to redraw our demographics, and control the culture of America through Sharia law. Sharia law is the law of Islam. Sharia law is now in effect in some American cities where the Islamics have centralized and outvote the American people. For those of you who think it can't happen here, it's already happened. Hear me, America. There is an all-out attack on our way of life. There is an all-out attack on the U.S. Constitution in America. The death of Supreme Court Justice Scalia makes the next presidential election the most important election in America's history. One more liberal judge on the Supreme Court will tilt the scale, and all of our religious freedoms and our freedom of speech and our right to bear arms will be gone with the wind, and America will be forever changed. What is the answer? Is for there to be a righteous revolution, a grassroots uprising among people of faith. Go vote, and go vote the Bible, and send qualified people to Washington, D.C. The invasion of America is on. On October 30th, 2008, our president told us that, quote, "We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America," end quote. Get a hold of the two words, fundamentally transforming. Since America was established in 1776, we have not needed ever to fundamentally transform. All we have needed is a few good men and women who would stand on the original concepts that our forefathers established when this nation was written and recorded and the Constitution was written. Our founding fathers declared that America was one nation under God, and that God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, "Behold, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." That does not need to change. That needs to stand forever. Now we're kicking God out of the schools, out of universities, out of the U.S. military, out of society. The Bible says all nations that forget God are turned into hell. And America is experiencing hell on earth. The American family is in a state of collapse. Policemen are being shot in their cars. Mobs in the streets are burning the cities down. This week it was reported over Fox News, quote, "The public school students were taught to pledge allegiance to an international flag in public school number 75 in New York City. Welcome to the New World Order." This is a reality that's happening in the United States of America. It was Abraham Lincoln who said, "Show me what they're studying in school today, and in the next generation, it will be the law of the land." Let every God-fearing America stand up and say, "In God we trust." That will not change, not ever. Freedom of religion was one of our original concepts. But today the government is firing school teachers because they want to have a Bible on their desk. Our government is attacking people in the U.S. military for their Christian convictions, like discharging a U.S. Marine corporal dishonorably because she had on her computer screen the Bible verse that said, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." And for that, she was drummed out of the Marine Corps. Freedom of religion should be allowed for all military personnel, for all Americans, all the time, without answering to the government about what is politically correct and not politically correct. Our founding fathers declared America to be a nation where life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness was an American ideal. Not the slaughter of unborn children in the womb of their mother. Not the selling of baby body parts by Planned Parenthood, who is supported by our tax dollars. Shame, shame, shame on you, Planned Parenthood. You are no better than Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party. The Congress of the United States, by our founding fathers, had the duty to protect and to defend the Constitution of the United States and the people. Those of you who are serving in Congress, the American people are not just deeply resentful, they're enraged about you and the abuse you have given our men and women in the U.S. military. You have humiliated them on the field of battle by firing them when they were in uniform defending this country. You have betrayed them with poor medical care when they were injured defending us. You, Congress, you want to know why Americans are enraged? Go look in the mirror. You are the fault. For the past 7 years, our president has worked tirelessly to open the borders and to allow millions of illegal immigrants to flood into America. And I want to say this note to all immigrants listening to me by television, and doubtless some of you are sitting in this auditorium. We welcome you to America with open arms, all who come to America legally. All who come to keep our laws, all who come to work, all who wish to dream the American dream. Welcome, welcome, welcome to America. We're glad to have you. That's how we all got here. But on the other hand, it's against the law to come to America illegally. And that law needs to be enforced right now for every person who enters the United States of America. Do it now. But the truth of the matter is, our government makes it extremely difficult for immigrants to come to America legally. There is literally a whole scam that crooked lawyers are doing to fleece the immigrants of their money and not expedite their papers. But for those who want to break the law, you can just come across. That's your heroes. This policy is nonsense. Do not admire the Trojan horse. Let's get rid of it. Get rid of it. Secure the borders of the United States of America. The power of influence of the King of the South, and I'm talking about Islam, in America and the world. Right now, Islam covers 1/4 of the world. There are 1.5 billion people who believe the Islamic faith. I recognize that only 1/3 of them are radical. That means there are 500 million people who feel they have a mandate from God to kill you. That's not very comforting. ISIS is demonstrating the extremity of this faith by crucifying children, by beheading men on global television, by burning them alive, by drowning them in steel cages, anyone refusing to believe in their faith. ISIS is forcing women into sexual slavery. You won't hear anything about that with the liberation of women in America, because that's entirely beyond their purview. They're most concerned about other things. ISIS is calling for lone wolves to murder Americans at random in American cities. So the result is policemen are being shot as they stand on the street corner, assassinated. A U.S. soldier was shot at Fort Hood by lunatics shouting Allah Akbar, and our president called it a domestic disturbance. Americans have been killed at the Boston Marathon. Citizens have been slaughtered in San Bernardino, California. Race riots in America's cities are choreographed for the media. Let me tell you, folks in the media, if you really want to see those riots shut down, shut off your cameras and go home. It'll die in a day. Radical Islam believes they'll conquer the world with a fanatical army of 500 million who are willing to die for their faith. And who's going to stop them? Certainly not the United States of America. We can't stop ISIS, which the president has called the junior varsity. The junior varsity is doing quite well in the Middle East, by the way. Can you imagine these radical Islamic immigrants as the American Trojan horse? It's a fact that the president brought 10,000 Syrians into America through New Orleans, November 2015. Where did they go? No one knows. Most were males between the ages of 18 and 35. The fact is, America has no way of vetting these people because we have no intelligence agencies in Syria. The president said they were vetted, but America's top military people said it did not happen. Representative King, who serves on the Intelligence Committee of the House, states, quote, "We have no way to vet these people," end of quote. I believe Representative King. The result is that the FBI and Homeland Security confirmed that there are 50 terrorist cells operating in each of the 50 states of the United States of America. Can you imagine these Islamic immigrants as the American Trojan horse? Can you imagine the hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens starting an orchestrated and simultaneous terrorist attack in all of our major cities at the same time? What must happen for Islam to control the Middle East and be brave enough to launch a major attack on America? The first thing that has to happen is that our military must be demoralized and weakened in the eyes of the world. The fact is, no administration in the history of America has betrayed the American military like this one. None. In the past few days, Iran, Islamic fanatics, captured members of the United States Navy at gunpoint. You saw the pictures of the Navy on its knees. One sailor was crying This is a shocking portrait to the Middle East that worships power. They saw our weakness. They saw our humiliation. They saw us as leaderless. Add to that the fact the Secretary of State, John Kerry, apologized to Iran for the situation. Shame on you, John Kerry, Secretary. Again here, me America, we must rebuild our military quickly. We must rebuild it to make it the best and the biggest fighting force on the face of the earth to protect and defend the people of the United States of America without apology to anyone. So how could the King of the South, Islam, attack America and reduce its military to insignificance portrayed in Ezekiel 38:13? When we ask the invading armies, have you come to take a spoil? Get the picture. Millions of military personnel are invading the land of Israel. Our State Department sends them a question. Are you coming to take a spoil? No, we've got all these people, all these millions of people with tanks and guns and air force and airplanes. This is a parade. The answer is military experts predict the most likely way America could be attacked and neutralized is through the electromagnetic pulse. Listen quickly. On March 2007, the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on Terrorism Technology, chaired by Senator John Kyle of Arizona, held a hearing on the electromagnetic pulse threat against America. Here's what the EMP does. The electromagnetic blanket does not kill people, it kills electrons. In short, it stops every form of electricity instantly for months and maybe years. Here is how our military experts believe it would be used against America in warfare. Many believe that Iran and ISIS have the EMP and will try to use it against us. This is how it works. A fake satellite crossing over America at the height of 280 miles suddenly explodes over the Great Plains of the United States, releasing several pounds of enriched plutonium, which blankets America with gamma rays. Instantly, in a fraction of a second, all electrical power is cut off instantly and cut off for months. No lights, no refrigeration. Every ounce of food that you have in your refrigerator and freezer will rot. Your car will not start, your truck will not start. You won't work because it requires electricity. Transportation will stop. All machinery will stop. All radio and television stations will go off the air. Planes that are in flight will crash because their electronic systems will fail. Missile systems will not function. In a few minutes, America will cease to be a superpower and instantly plunged into the 18th century. The president cannot communicate with his military people in the field because the phones will not work. America's refineries will shut down. There will be no gas and oil. Computers will not work. City, state, and federal government offices will shut down. There will be a nationwide food and gas shortage within about 3 days. Can this happen? Yes. It is not new. It has been talked about for 20 years, but only now Iran has the ability to put this weapon into use, and it could easily happen unless Iran is stopped. But what is America doing? We're giving $150 billion to Iran as our Secretary of State is apologizing for the U.S. Navy. May God help us. May God help us. May God help us. We need a righteous revolution in America. Revolution is defined by Webster's Dictionary as a sudden and dramatic change. Get that in your mind. Say it. A sudden and dramatic change. Lord God of heaven, send a spiritual awakening to the United States of America, a righteous revolution. In God we trust. In the Lord of heaven will we return. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Give the Lord praise in the house of God. So how does all this end? The king of the north and the king of the south will come at the same time into Israel. And God is going to systematically slaughter them. That's in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel. The first way is by a massive earthquake, so vast that the mountains are reduced to rubble and every wall falls down. Whenever Israel broke God's law and worshiped the golden calf, he sent an earthquake and buried about 20,000 of them. As an object lesson, don't break my law. These people, the king of the south and the king of the north who are coming, have been tormenting the Jewish people for centuries. There is a payday someday. And when they put their feet on the sacred soil of Israel, God has a license as the defender of Israel to wipe them out. And that's what's going to happen. Ezekiel 38, 1 and 2 says that God is going to leave but a sixth part of them, King James Version. That means five out of six will die at the hand of God. When is this going to happen? When Israel is reborn. That happened in 1948. When is Jesus going to come again? When Jerusalem is reunited to the state of Israel. That happened in 1967. When is the Lord coming again? When the four blood moons have happened. That happened in 2014-15. Jesus said, when you see these signs, don't run to your medicine cabinet and start swallowing Tylenol. Lift up your heads and rejoice. Your redemption draweth nigh. The King of Kings is coming. The Lord of Hosts is coming for the church triumphant. The King is coming. Glory, glory, glory to his matchless name. Give him praise and glory in the house of God. Magnify the Lord with me and let us bless his name together. Stand, please. Stand, please. The question that I have for those of you who are here and those of you that are watching by television is recognizing that the return of Jesus Christ is imminent. Are you ready? I haven't read to you some theological fairy tale that's in a book. I have read to you from the Word of God, and you can read it on the front pages of your newspaper. It's a perfect match. We're the only generation that can say that. Jesus said, when you see these things, get ready. Get ready. So my question to you, lest we stand at the judgment bar of God together and you say, preacher, I wish you could have made that a little clearer. I'm making it as clear as I can. You're not going to get to heaven without knowing Jesus. For there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, he is the door, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. You're in this room or you're watching by television. You're a good person, you're a moral person, but you've just never taken the time to ask Jesus Christ into your heart as Savior and Lord, and you want to do that today. Let me see your hand right where you are. Raise your hand. God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you. Raise your hand on this side. God bless you, sir. In the balcony, let me see your hands. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. pray this prayer with me. You're at home, pray the prayer. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
in the name of the Lord Jesus
Christ, I come before your holy throne.
I come before your holy throne.
And I ask you to forgive me.
And I ask you to forgive
of all of my sins.
Of all of my sins.
Let your precious blood,
let your precious blood
cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
And make me whiter than snow.
And make me whiter than snow.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
From this moment forward.
From this moment forward.
I will serve you.
I will serve
with
you.
With all of my heart, soul, mind, and body.
With all of my heart, soul, mind,
you
and
will
body.
Be the Lord of my life.
You will be the Lord of my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You've just become a child of God. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. God bless America, because America needs a righteous revolution, a sudden change that will bring cleansing, holiness, and the return to righteousness for a nation that's lost its moral compass. Sing with me.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Thank you, God. Raise your hand for the blessing. And now may the Lord bless you. And may the Lord keep you. And may the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord be gracious unto you and give you his peace. May you walk in the blessed assurance that you belong to the Lord, that you are a child of the King, and the hand of the wicked shall not touch you nor harm you, because you are the property of the God of heaven. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered, and let the righteous rejoice and be glad. God is on his throne, and everything is going to be all right. Amen. Give the Lord praise in the house of God.
This telecast has been brought to you in its entirety by the faithful support of Salt Covenant partners with this ministry. Thank you, partners, for your faithful support.